the time.
You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm, but even then he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq, Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. You'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now. 800-910-1370. That's 800-910-1370. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-1370.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-783-0810 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-783-0810. Again, that's 800-783-0810.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
Hi, I'm Mike, founder of DollarShaveClub.com. What is DollarShaveClub.com? Well, for a dollar a month, we send high-quality razors right to your door. Yeah, a dollar. Are the blades any good? No. Our blades are f***ing great. Each razor has stainless steel blades, an aloe vera lubricating strip, and a pivot head. It's so gentle a toddler could use it. And do you like spending $20 a month on brand name razors? 19 go to Roger Federer. I'm good at tennis.
And do you think your razor needs a vibrating handle, a flashlight, a back scratcher, and 10 blades? Your handsome-ass grandfather had one blade and polio.
Looking good, pop-up!
Stop paying for shave tech you don't need. And stop forgetting to buy your blades every month. Alejandro and I are going to ship them right to you. We're not just selling razors. We're also making new jobs. Alejandro, what were you doing last month?
Not working.
What are you doing now?
Working.
I'm no Vanderbilt, but this train makes hay. So stop forgetting to buy your blades every month and start deciding where you're going to stack all those dollar bills I'm saving you. We are DollarShaveClub.com, and the party is on. I know karate, I know jiu-jitsu, I drive like a gangster when I'm coming to see you.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
We'll be right back.
And you are now listening to Toxic Masculinity right here live on KLR Radio. It's our once a month foray into all the things liberals hate. You know, pulling out chairs, opening doors, all the things that they think are, you know, way outdated. But you guys just heard me talk for like almost an hour, so I'm going to turn things over to G and have him finish rounding up the room. So good evening, Mr. G, sir. How are you?
Hey, how we doing? Look, we got the band back together.
All right. Well, you, Mr. Remodel's been like in fucking money pit hell for months and missed the last one.
Dude, and you know, that's not even what's been killing me. It's been work that's killing me. If work would leave me alone, I'd be fine.
Well, no, you pissed Toxic last month because of the money pit. You missed your regular show last week because you couldn't get out of
the work. I did. Yeah, last week was a work function. And by the way, I'll go ahead and tell you now, Wednesday, September 21st, I will have to miss because I will be attending a Chevelle concert in a dive bar in Mobile, Alabama for a $38 ticket.
That's all right. As long as the pictures of you dancing on tables make it onto Twitter, all the ladies won't mind.
I will not be able to dance on tables in this place because the roof is only about 8 feet high. I'm telling you, this place is a real literal crap hole that they basically nailed sheet metal over 2x4s and call it a concert hall.
I tried, ladies.
You know, it sounds like this bar I saw fire hose in once back in the 90s. I just remember Mike Watt when he was restringing his bass after like the sixth time he broke a bass string. He goes, and no slam dancing in the bathroom, folks.
And there you go. And that, ladies and gentlemen, leads us to introduce the suspended one, Ordy.
Yes, present.
Yes, I know.
Working harder than Alejandro.
Stop.
G, you have been around. I don't know if you know the new the spots for Harry's Razors. They're fucking hilarious.
I have not seen.
Yeah, no, it's new spots we're running on the station. Alejandro, what were you doing last month? Not working. What are you doing this month? Working.
Okay. Yeah, I have not caught that. I am excited to, though.
Yeah, no, they're good spots.
It's Dollar Shave Club, not Harry's.
Well.
What's that? Who, what?
Dollar Shave Club, not Harry's.
Dollar Shave Club. Yeah, well, they're, yeah.
Jesus Christ. Hey, look, I thought I saw you the other day. I was actually driving down the road in my work vehicle, and this van began to pass me on the left-hand side of the car. And I look out the window at this van as it's starting to go by me, and there's a face plastered up against the glass of the van. It's a little, you know, like a church passenger van. But this dude has straight bangs cut across his forehead and the perfect Amish beard with no mustache, face pressed against the window. And he's wearing a blue and white striped shirt.
Was he licking the glass?
No, he was not licking the glass. But as he went by, there was another one looking out the window, not quite as intently, again, with the bangs and the beard. And then as the van kept going past me, in the back window were straw hats mashed against the glass with, like, luggage and stuff pressing against them.
That's fantastic. Had they been licking the windows, it probably would have been me.
You know,
on my way to a Circle K somewhere.
Who knows? That's right. Behind it.
Behind it, yeah.
I don't know. And I don't think it could have been you. Because those are Mennonites, not the Amish.
See, that's what I was thinking, too. They're in a van, so they can't be Amish. So, and I did come to the conclusion. The brilliant Aggie Regan, by the way, has joined us. Thank you, Aggie. How are you?
Hi. Sorry, I have to be historically accurate.
I understand that. Well, that's how you were educated, and... You know,
it's my Jones.
It's absolutely not your fault that you've had that ingrained into you now.
Speaking of historical accuracy, there's somebody that would like to say something about Aggie.
If she were a president, she'd be Abraham Lincoln.
Party on, Garth.
Party on, Wayne. But you see, Aggie, I'm undercover, so I could have been posing as Mennonite. I could have been posing.
True.
Yeah.
This is true. This is true.
Secret.
Because I am on covert ops right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you are. When can we expect overt ops again?
You know, I've sent my last appeal. So after this, I'm just going to send one more appeal that calls them all a bunch of cunts and dalits and then start anew.
Okay.
Well,
gods of the copybook.
Save us.
Because I found out that I do have just as we were coming into the show, a wider following outside of the normal circle.
Yes. Oh, I could have told you that. I mean, that's... It's only news to you, apparently.
No, it really is, because I'm pretty far up my own ass. I just kind of like, you know, whatever. I'm the last person to realize when anybody is flirting with me.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand that, because I've been flirting with you, and you just don't respond at all.
kind of jealous, to be honest.
Well, you can flirt too. There's no limit. I mean,
so anyway, what we were talking about was Aggie was telling me that her brother has felt the touch of the Amish.
Yes.
But
not that way.
Not that way. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Was he behind?
I was going to say he's not been pole barn, has he?
No. He happened to see a reference to Circle K. He thought it was very funny, and we were talking the other day, FaceTiming, because I wanted to see my nephew, and he happened to mention.
He didn't tell you to meet him behind a Circle K, did he?
No, he was saying that it was like a running joke that he saw on Twitter. I was like, yeah, that's my friend.
There you go.
Yes. And I managed to make him, you know, shoot his tea out through his nose when I happened to say that Morty has become meme and destroyer of moms. And just did not expect that from me.
There you go.
it was
that's fantastic.
I wish I had recorded that, because that would have been epic.
Oh,
you should have recorded it, because then you could have gifted.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been perfect.
Just turn your brother into a GIF of tea shooting out of his nose. It would have been priceless.
And just by the way, for everybody out there, we have absolutely nothing planned for tonight. We do not have a babe. The only person that has done their damn job this month is Aggie.
Not true. We have
and Andrew.
Andrew did his job.
Well, okay, let me back up.
And Rick Andrew.
His job too. He pushed the buttons.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
A monkey could do that. I don't count.
Yeah, but without that, we don't have a show. So maybe a monkey could, but a monkey didn't. It was an orangutan.
Well, you know.
Right turn, Clyde.
That's it.
I've always considered myself more of a baboon, because, you know, they can just say, like, bend over and say, kiss it.
And you always have a red, swollen ass?
Well, you know. There's reasons, but we won't go into those tonight.
Quit hanging out at the Circle K.
Well,
damn it.
No.
Fooled again by his makeup job, huh, Ordy?
No. Ordy Circle K, I hang out at Come and Go. Just saying.
Oh.
See what I did there?
That's where you get your quickie.
We're just going to go the whole... We're going to do this all 7-Eleven, aren't we?
I was going to say, we're going to do middle school jokes all night, right? Mm-hmm. That's... Yeah, I don't know. I am sure, because I know she posted it already, that Aggie did her job and has a marvelous drink of the month for us. So please, Aggie, save the show.
I do have a really, really good recipe. This is a very established, very nostalgic recipe that hails from the South. So, you know, buckle up, buckaroos.
Hey, y'all.
I am bringing you the Zazarac.
Is that like Xanarans?
Huh?
None.
I'm sorry, what's it called again?
The Zazarac.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's very similar to an old fashioned, but it's more aromatic and floral in a way. It has its roots way back in the 1800s, and it's considered the official cocktail of New Orleans.
I was going to say, that's Nolens. I know that name.
Yes, yes, it is, and that's where it was born. And so it has a very, very long history. It was very popular to use. The original recipe called for cognac. But during, I want to say it was the late 19th century, there was like a dearth of cognac. It wasn't readily available. So they switched over to rye whiskey. And so it became even more aromatic with the rye. It was a little bit more of a kick than with the cognac. So what they do nowadays is they combine the two. They use both rye and cognac in the drink. And so it has this more elevated, complex flavor when you drink it. But it does take a little bit of work because it has a lot of different ingredients that are New Orleans. Okay. So basically you're going to need absinthe, and you can just get the regular absinthe without the wormwood additive.
Does it come with it? You're in the bottle. Is that like, you know, tequila?
Yeah. If you like the green fairy, then get that one. But if you just want the actual flavor of the absinthe, just plain absinthe is fine. You're going to need a sugar cube, half a teaspoon of cold water. You're going to need both Peychaud's bitters and Angostura bitters. So you're going to have two layers of bitters in there as well. You're going to need a shot of rye whiskey and a shot of cognac, and you will need a lemon peel. So what you will do is you will take the absinthe and you're going to pour it into a chilled rocks glass, and you're going to coat the inside of it, you know, twirl it around, and then you're going to discard the rest. So you just want it to coat the inside. Some people leave it in there because they like that another layer of flavor, you know, and aroma, but most people just discard the leftover absinthe. So you're just going to add a little bit of absinthe to your glass to wash it, basically. Then in a separate glass, you're going to muddle the sugar cube, the water, and both bitters until it's like the sugar has started to completely break down. It's not as grainy. And then you'll add the rye and the cognac, some ice, and you will stir that to chill. Then you're going to strain that into the prepared glass, take the lemon peel and twist it over it to release the oils, and drop it into the Zazarac. And that is your cocktail for tonight.
Hmm. I like.
It's a very aromatic, and it's very smooth. And I like the fact that they take both the rye and the cognac, because one is really soft and one is really brash. And then together, it's kind of like a marriage. And it's like the city. It can be very rough and it can be very smooth. So it's a very, very good representation of NOLA.
And that is actually very awesome. And just to go a step further, for anybody that knows the Sazerac name, they are also the proprietors of the swill that is Fireball that I love so very damn much.
No good comes from Fireball.
I'm going to have to disagree, because I have been on the golf course many a days with the Fireball flowing, and lots of good things have happened.
Not, you know, that's like thinking you can dance after Jägermeister.
I don't even know who you are right now. I'm it's like you're trying to turn my world upside down or something.
No, I've been on many a camping trip with a Fireball, so I understand. So I'm with you. I'm just
I mean, I even posted a great picture of the golf cart that caught on fire, you know, and we were standing. We talked about how we were going to be serious and play it straight today and try to shoot low. And, you know, eight holes in, there's the damn golf cart on fire, burning a patch out of the grass on the course.
There's.
Oh, my word.
Now, well, you know what? At that point, you just get the fireball. You get the cart girl and you get some fireball.
Well, we actually took the fire, the party ball with us out on the course. So,
nice.
Yeah, we were.
You rescued it.
We were safe. Yes. I mean, we saved what was important. The clubs and the fireball made it.
I'm picturing that and I'm just thinking.
But you see, that shit that happens to me, so I can totally relate.
I know exactly.
There was a cell phone and a sleeve of golf balls lost, along with probably some miscellaneous tees and things like that. But everything really important, minus the one phone, was saved.
I love insurance stories like that.
And yes, the cart girl is most impressed.
Definitely a farmer's insurance.
Right.
This should be an ad.
We've seen it.
Yeah.
That's where you have Mayhem out on the golf course.
Oh, God.
Mayhem.
I'm a faulty battery. Did you hear what I said? I'm a faulty battery.
the same guys whose cart caught, it was not my cart, I will say that. It was not the cart I was on that caught fire. But the same pair whose cart caught on fire a couple of years earlier almost went sideways over a catwalk bridge as we were crossing a swamp on a course and almost drove the cart into the swamp.
Oh, my word.
I imagine this is what hanging out with JD is like.
It's funny you would say that, because what almost caused this disaster was a cigar ash falling in one's lap while they were driving.
Oh, that is so totally JD. I can totally picture JD doing that and this happening.
Yeah, it was pretty glorious. Luckily there was about a 10 inch, maybe 12 inch high railing that actually served to stop the cart from going completely over. It the back end of the cart did go into the air, but it had enough weight to hold it back down.
See, I can totally relate with this, because I'm the kind of person that doesn't like seek these things to happen, but you know, just the forces of the universe lays upon me, and I thrive on it.
I've had enough fireball in me on the course at one time that I took my driver out to drive the ball on this beautiful wide open par four. And my club actually ended up going farther than the ball. One of those things. Top of the ball, it rolled about 10 yards and the club went about 120 yards down the fairway.
When I'm golfing, I'm a salty dog kind of guy, but I can totally relate. When I golf, it's like it was when I was living out in Mesquite and you're in Vegas area too. And we go golfing up in Mesquite, and then you start drinking because it's 120 degrees. You start golfing and drinking relatively early. So by the time it's 9 a.m., you've got quite a few breakfast cocktails in you.
Yes. Yes. I understand.
Yeah.
Especially when you're playing a two round day, you know. You're going off at the crack of dawn, and then you're breaking for lunch, and then you're going back out and getting another round. You're going to do a lot of drinking.
Yeah.
No, I believe it. I was driving out here. I live in the middle of nowhere, as y'all know. But about an hour from here, there's a town. It has a private country club, but you can see the green and everything. One time we were driving by, there was this really snazzy golf cart. Okay. I mean, it could sit six people, but the back was a cooler.
The club car. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So it was an entire cooler
grill on the front.
I would not have been surprised if they had put a trailer hitch and just dragged the ground with it. But it was, I was just like, I because we were at a stop sign, and so I could turn to look, and I'm like, I've never seen a golf cart that big. I've never seen a golf cart that came with its own cooler in the back. I was impressed.
That was a custom job.
It was. It was a custom job.
But, what a great course to allow them to bring their cooler on. Most places prohibit such things, but you know, when you pack a third golf bag on the center of your cart on the back where you strap the regular golf bags on, mm-hmm. and that's what's holding your fireball, they it's really hard to stop that.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I just tell them we just carry.
Or if you just happen to live on the golf course, you can have whatever golf cart you want.
Well, there you go. There you go.
There you go. Ask me how I know.
One of our foursome just closed on a house on a course. What's today? Wednesday? He closed Monday afternoon.
Nice.
So he's now the proud owner of a golf course home. So, yeah, there won't be any problems there.
No, none at all.
Not one.
Yeah, that was when my first wife and I, we would get calls from friends of ours who would be out on the golf course and say, hey, I'm around in your house. And we'd be have Bloody Marys waiting for them when they came by.
Okay. See, we're planning to be more like, more like the guys in the bar in Animal House. Like when they hit their balls into his yard, we're just going to sit on the patio and go, you mind if we have your golf ball?
You mind if I dance with your date?
Exactly. What a great idea. We were just leaving. Oh, man. What is this show about anyway?
Nothing.
Golf?
Oh,
I don't know.
Apparently golf and drinking. More drinking than anything, apparently. Oh. I would definitely drink one of those, Aggie. I need one right now, as a matter of fact.
I will say that they're very potent. I mean,
I was gonna say, that whole thing just sounds like it crawls right on top of you.
And honestly, I could do without the absinthe and the bitters and the lemon, and you know, I'll just drink the rye and the cognac. I don't care. I'll alternate shots.
So you just basically made an American rusty nail.
Yes, pretty much.
Yuck. I know what a rusty nail is. That's disgusting.
You know what? Back in my bartending days, you could definitely tell who was closer to the prohibition age than others, because they would order the drinks that were like, you know, bathtub gin, you know.
I'm sorry, there's nothing that sounds appealing about Drambuie and scotch over ice.
Just, yeah, I mean, but that's kind of, you know, I guess if you're doing bathtub scotch and you got some Drambuie coming in across the board, you know, the Kennedys brought you some Drambuie across the border.
Right.
Maybe. But holy shit, that is just a terrible drink.
It really is. It just...
You could also age people by what they, you know... The ladies that would come in asking for a Brandy Alexander, I mean, that was like a dead giveaway for me.
My mom used to drink those, so yeah.
I mean, this was before I got interested in making cocktails. I just happened to notice a trend because I, you know, I watch people. So
I got to tell you, my mom was a damn tramp for a grasshopper.
That one too.
Oh God!
When I was a bartender, I used to have a customer that would order a rusty nail with dimple pinch. I'd be like, "Why?
You should have beat him with a bottle."
Just
don't you have like? Didn't you have like Galliano right there?
Well, that's funny. Until I moved back to California, I had never seen Galliano used at a bar in Nevada as anything other than the club.
Yeah.
To like keep the patrons in line. Like if somebody tried to crawl over the bar, you beat them with a bottle of Galliano. Uh-huh. But yeah, and then which I think I mentioned this the other night, last night during your show. If you take talking about Galliano, Galliano, Kahlua, Coors, and Coke. You mix them all in equal parts. It tastes exactly like a root beer barrel candy.
Oh, God, I love those little candies.
So,
not going to lie.
And, MD, if you're listening, whip up one of those and see how it works out for you.
I won't lie. I would taste it, but I'm not going to whip one up.
You know, it's... But it's really not bad. And then, you know, you serve it as a shot, obviously.
I mean, well, yeah, like I said, if somebody said, here, taste this, I would taste it. And I might even like it. It might be, like you said, like a root beer candy. But I'm not going through all that trouble to mix all that up.
MD. Galliano
not when I can just open a bottle of Fireball and...
Yeah. Galliano has limited uses. That's true. Harvey Wallbanger and the drink I described, and that's about it.
Yeah.
It was, but it's funny because I was looking at some vintage Tiki mugs, and there was one from, I think it was either Harvey's or Trader Vic's, one of the two, that showed a little Tiki person hugging a Galliano bottle. And I'm like, why? It's like, why would this even be a thing?
What Polynesian drink are you putting Galliano in?
I don't know. I was like,
I was going to say it had to be the Galliano makers. I mean,
it could have been you know, like a promotion or something like that. But I was pretty sure it was either Harvey's or Trader Vic's. But I was just like, I don't get it. I don't buy.
there was a time in the mid 70s where they were really pushing to put Galliano in, and the only drink that really stuck was the Harvey Wallbanger. But it was a hard push to put it in almost anything. I mean, I've seen drink recipes for Galliano and tonic. I'm like, holy shit.
Why?
Right. I mean, you drink tonic, especially like a gin and tonic or vodka tonic, to get rid of the scurvy and the malaria. You don't drink it for, anyway.
I mean, you know.
Which, you know, I yeah.
That's like people that drink rum straight.
Excuse me. You better back off, buddy. Right now. You're drawing a line. You're talking to the Puerto Ricania here.
Mixed with something.
You know what? No, okay.
Most people do have to mix rum with something. They consider it a mixer. But where I come from, it is... Definitely not.
Oh, girl, I know, because that's like voodoo land.
We call that Santeria on that side of the
curve. I was just going to say, yeah, my uncle calls it Santeria, and we just don't talk about it in the family.
I don't practice Santeria.
But if you go to Rum Jungle, which I do when I'm in Vegas, I do go to Rum Jungle. That's one of the few tourist trap places I'll still go to, because you can get Appleton's Estate 18 there, and I drink that straight up.
It is good straight. Yeah. There are a few non-Puerto Rican rums that I, Mount Gay, Appleton's Estate, those I can do straight. Flor de Caña I can do as well, but there are some that are like, oh my God, I'm drinking orange varnish. Like, yes. I actually brought that up last night. Pirate Rum, which is actually owned by Patron Brands, I believe.
Yeah,
and
it's with the Y, right?
Yes, and yeah, it was. Yeah, that's Patron. It's an old distillery. I mean, it's out from in the Antilles, and it's a very old distillery. I want to say it was Antigua, but I'm not sure.
Yes,
but it was shutting down.
I used to rep it, so yeah.
Yeah, and the old stuff, the old Pirate Rum. My dad remembers was fine. It was great. And then when it was revitalized and brought back, you know, I bought my dad a bottle because I thought, well, you know, this is like, here, Dad, I'm bringing you the 60s, you know, that kind of thing, right?
And, here's a bottle of nostalgia for you.
Yeah. And so we cracked it open and he poured shots for everybody and we all, you know, took a shot. And I'm like, is this like orangey, like, I don't, ugh. And there was like this aftertaste, and I swear, and you know, I'm a furniture gal, so I was like, it's like varnish, it's weird, it was a weird aftertaste.
It tastes like traditional shellac.
Yeah, but if you mix it and stuff, it's fine. Especially tropical drinks. So that, that's what we used it for. After that, we never drank it straight. But, you know, there are some rums that are just, I just don't recommend straight.
You know, even from 20 years ago, the Sailor Jerry's you drink now is hot compared to the Sailor Jerry's you drank back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
It's designed to be mixed with shit. You just not, you know, high octane, low flavor.
Well, there you go.
That's my take. That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, well, I've noticed a lot of new rums out on the market, and the established brands have expanded into the flavor profiles as well. So I'm kind of leery about trying some of the stuff out there.
I mean, okay. Myers is okay. Malibu, okay. Yeah, I mean, they're all good mixing rums, but just straight up good sipping rum is hard to come by.
It is.
I will
give a nod rum to G in this case. A slight nod, not a complete nod.
Not a complete nod. Okay.
Well, a slight nod while she has her machete in her hand, just in case.
Right.
It's just a chankla.
I ain't gonna tempt the chankla or the machete. Don't. I ain't stupid.
Is there a whiskey flavored rum? Yes. As a matter of fact, it's called rye.
Yes, that's pretty much it.
Hey, look. It could be worse. Okay, we could be drinking Kirkland's brand tequila.
Okay, you know what? No, their Blanco is not bad.
It only tastes alcohol.
No, the Blanco is not bad. I was out camping.
The silver's bad.
That's the Blanco.
That's the Blanco. That's Blanco.
No, come on. You have got to do better than this.
Okay, their Reposado is shit. Their Añejo is shit. Their Blanco is not. Okay, you know what?
It's very difficult to actually mess up a Blanco.
Look,
it tastes like it was aged in a burnt old Milwaukee can.
Gee, he's Amish. They're used to brewing their own shit. He doesn't know what anything good tastes like.
That's the flavor I'm looking for, though.
Burnt old Milwaukee.
You take the can straight from the campfire, rinse it out, get the cigarette ashes out of it and the butts and everything, and then start the fermentation process. Your distillation process.
You're supposed to leave the ashes in for more flavor, though.
Well, I know I'm Amish.
You can strain them out later.
I mean,
I think we're supposed to take a commercial break somewhere, aren't we?
I don't know.
It's time.
It feels like we should.
Yes. We need to reset. We need to hear more from Alejandro and Dollar Shave Club.
Yes. Yeah. I'm interested in hearing this ad.
We need to hear more from Alejandro and Dollar Shave Club.
You'll like the ad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Rick.
I'm working on
it. As the little girl in Rush Hour says, push your goddamn button.
I'm working on it. We're already almost at the end of the show. Now you want to take a fucking break? Leave me alone.
Oh, well,
We started 7 minutes late. We're only 3 minutes over break. Yeah.
We did not.
Besides, it's just you and I after this, so we can punt as long as we want.
We started 3 minutes late, sir. We're at 40 minutes
which
as
we
of
start.
Now.
Math is not my friend.
Anyway, we're going to take a break! Because, you know.
We'll do this right after back.
Rena, it's always fun.
You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm, but even then, he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq, Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. You'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now. 800-910-1370. That's 800-910-1370. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-1370.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-783-0810 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-783-0810. Again, that's 800-783-0810.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
Hi, I'm Mike, founder of DollarShaveClub.com. What is DollarShaveClub.com? Well, for a dollar a month, we send high-quality razors right to your door. Yeah, a dollar. Are the blades any good? No. Our blades are f***ing great. Each razor has stainless steel blades and aloe vera lubricating strip and a pivot head. It's so gentle a toddler could use it. And do you like spending $20 a month on brand name razors? 19 go to Roger Federer. I'm good at tennis.
And do you think your razor needs a vibrating handle, a flashlight, a back scratcher, and 10 blades? Your handsome-ass grandfather had one blade and polio.
Looking good, Pop-Up!
Stop paying for shave tech you don't need. And stop forgetting to buy your blades every month. Alejandro and I are going to ship them right to you. We're not just selling razors. We're also making new jobs. Alejandro, what were you doing last month?
Not working.
What are you doing now?
Working.
I'm no Vanderbilt, but this train makes hay. So stop forgetting to buy your blades every month and start deciding where you're going to stack all those dollar bills I'm saving you. We are DollarShaveClub.com, and the party is on. I know karate, I know jiu-jitsu, I drive like a gangster when I'm coming to see you, see you, see you, see you.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
Yes, it is.
Bunch of comedians when the mics are hot. Anyway, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Toxic Masculinity, our once-a-month foray into everything the left hates, and we've kind of been all over the place tonight, but it's kind of what we do sometimes. So we are back. We are live. You are listening to KLR Radio, and I think they've been discussing this new crazy-ass brand of tequila while we were on break, so I don't know if they're going to bring that up or not.
Yeah, of course we are. Of course, Aggie found it. She found it really quick. Madre de todos los muertos. I feel like the new Sonic commercial where they're trilling their R's. Have you seen that one?
Yes.
Mine's got to have 800 R's in it.
By the way, before we continue, G, what did you think of the Dollar Shave Club ad?
It was pretty good, dude. I like that a lot. I need more of Alejandro.
I know Alejandro karate. Cruel. I know jujitsu. I drive like a gangster.
While you were gone, Ordy, I came across this branded tequila that looked like it would be right up your alley. I did a search for the worst tequila ever.
Mother of the Bull, Dead Bull.
Okay. There you have to make the distinction because tequila is not mezcal. Mezcal is completely different.
This is right. Technically true. Yes. Yes. But also it's fair. On the list. It's on the list. And it is called Mezcal Artisanal.
Mm-hmm. Because artisanal, you know, exactly. Yes. As long as you put artisanal on the label, every little bitch will buy it. And I both know this to be true.
You
got to say it like Quentin Tarantino in Four Rooms, though, when he's talking about Cristal, you know, the champagne. Fucking Mezcal.
Yes.
Mezcal.
Now, Aggie, you hit the nail on the head with this other brand that I came across, Tequila Jorongo, Jorongo, is like Card Bordeaux. It is tequila in a box.
Okay, so living close to the JMT and the Pacific Crest Trail, one of the big fads here is not only wine in like Capri Sun foil pouches, but also like Moscow Mules and, you know, kind of club cocktails, but also in it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, fucking fantastic. I have seen it. But this is like an agave juice box.
speaking of Have you had agave syrup on your pancakes or your waffles?
I have.
Fucking amazing.
Yeah, it really is.
I've completely replaced syrup in my house with agave syrup.
See, I could do that, but I still love that damn Vermont maple that I buy because it's like the real shit. It's not table syrup.
Oh, no, I'm with you. I mean, Jeff, who is too toxic for toxic masculinity, he wants to do a six varietal Boone's Farm tasting, except as a 50-year-old, not as a 15-year-old. Oh. So, yeah.
Like on
I think we need to be, I think we need to make that happen on the show. That would be toxic.
I think we could.
Jeff, there's your invite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You could be the bro of the month.
There we go.
We haven't had one of those, have we?
Not for a while. Who was a stand-in for, I think, Loftus when he was a stand-in for Stacy?
Oh, yeah. He did. He stood in for Stacy, yeah.
Loftus decided not to come back because I told him he had to wear a dress if he came back again like we did when he was standing in for Stacy. He wasn't down for that, so.
Oh, he does that in his stand-up.
I know. That's what I tried to explain to him. I was like, so you can wear a dress on stage, but you won't wear one for us? Slacker.
Right.
I mean, that's a double standard.
Slacker bastard.
Don't need that kind of hypocritical shit in my life.
Hey, Ordy.
Whoa!
Ordy, check a text. I found that stuff, that song you were looking for.
What's that?
I said, check your text. I found the name of the song.
Oh, shit.
Anyway.
Live radio.
Yes. That thing you were looking for? Yeah, I found it.
Found it. Nice. I will listen after the show. I know karate.
The good news is I did not find it behind Circle K.
Oh, yeah, well, thank God.
News. You know, just proof that they'll do anything. I just came across a website that is the best and worst tequila brands for keto.
What the fuck?
For keto. You have got to be shitting me.
I have not. It is the website is sureketo.com. That's sureketo.com for the best and worst brands of tequila for your keto diet. Jesse Kelly, that one's for you.
You know,
that won't even work.
Keto is the Seattle of diets. It's the pesto of diets. I just. So tiresome. It's like Adkins when everything was fucking Adkins.
That won't even work in theory because alcohol is like 90% sugar. What the hell?
I know.
You know, if you're going to drink while you're dieting, it's been proven time and time again that the best alcohol for dieting is scotch.
Well, yeah, because you can't mix it with anything aside from Drambuie, apparently.
I mean, if you're drinking decent scotch, you shouldn't mix it with anything. What? And if you're not drinking decent scotch, then you shouldn't be a scotch drinker to start with.
Okay, the guy who insists on mixing Irish whiskey with tomato juice to make Bloody Mollies is saying you can't mix anything with scotch. But Jesus Christ. Yeah, and that vodka would be the worst because it mixes with everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever.
I don't know. It kind of sounded like Gene was about to reach for Aggie Machete over this scotch shit. I'm just saying.
I am a scotch purist. I mean, I don't drink blended scotch.
He was about
You know, I don't drink blended scotch, and I do not mix my scotch.
Well, I don't even put ice
in my scotch.
You have to come visit me. I have at least 5 single malt.
You don't?
Huh?
I don't have blended scotch here.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. What's the address again?
nowhere is still Texas.
I normally do not drink blended scotches. Normally, I'm a single malt guy. The only blend that I will drink is the Chivas Regal 12.
Chivas Regal is good.
That was my grandfather's drink of choice, and I have respect for the Chivas, but I've graduated beyond it. I can't help it. See, I'm a Scotch snob that likes Fireball. What can I say?
My dad was a Black Label guy.
How are you going to be a Scotch snob that likes Fireball? Your shit's busted, bro.
Dude, what can I tell you? It just is what it is.
Tell me true. Was it Jennifer that turned you on to Fireball, or were you the one that turned her into Fireball?
No.
I think it was mutual. I remember when it was.
She brought up the Fireball, but I had already had Fireball. My golfing buddy was a Fireball fiend, and
okay,
yeah.
So it was interdependent. Got it.
It was, and then you know, kind of like co-defendant, not defendant, but defendant. we defend the swill.
Scotch is just lazy Irish. Thank you, Andrew.
Scotch is what?
Lazy Irish whiskey.
Whatever.
Because Ireland was founded around a river of liquor.
I would expect that from Navy.
Oi, it's getting ugly here.
everyone knows the only reason that God invented alcohol was to keep the Irish from ruling the world anyway.
Exactly.
I will
say this. There is a book out there that does explain history of the world in 6 glasses. I believe it's called The History of the World in 6 Glasses. And it's about the history of the world as these different drinks were invented. Beer being wine, clear liquor, Coke, Coca-Cola is another one. But y'all, tea, you know, coffee. So, yeah, alcohol has made a really huge impact in societies around the world, and it's always been forward, not backward. So,
well, there
we should be grateful. Alcohol is progressive in its true sense of worth.
The cause of and solution to all life's problems.
Exactly.
I'll drink to that.
So we got polls.
Let's have a poll.
Yes. Open up Discord.
And no strippers.
And no strippers, just the poll.
Just the poll.
Okay, so our polls come from Andrew, the curmudgeon. He's very not militant, loyal in getting these out every month for what was the peak Twitter. And a little militant, too, because Twitter can only have so many peaks. And this is the 4. That he chose for the month of August. Wait, July. What month is this? Yeah, this July. So this was last month. So last month, the poll questions were Putin hike, Biden drop, known to law enforcement, street cred for the squad, or words are malleable. And the winner, obviously, is words are malleable because words don't mean things anymore on social media or in general society. Now, this month, can I even bring up Twitter? Yes, I can. Okay. Because I am suspended, y'all. again.
Yep.
As always. I'm on the covert mission. So peak Twitter of August was we got him this time. Climate or inflation bill. Embrace the power of and on that one, actually.
Yes.
Opposition is fascistic. It's also fantastic, but in this case, fascistic. And buying votes by forgiving. So I'm going to link this in the chat, and y'all vote early and vote often.
Pretend you're Democrats. There you go. Vote early and vote often.
And there we go.
Ding, ding.
Ding, ding.
So did you guys see the pictures of the guns that Toronto police posted online that they were taken off the streets this week?
No, but that's always classic.
I mean, the one, it looked like it was, I mean, I don't know.
The one that was being held together by rust?
Yeah, the one I made a comment on it that they asked if they found Hoffa with it.
Yes.
Yeah, sometimes I think that they're just trolling. It's like, we took this gun off the street, and it's like, was...
You couldn't even see the trigger.
Was Edward Teach in possession of it? Yeah, that's a really good blunderbuss you got there, guys. That could do some real damage with some nails and some grape shot in it.
God.
The sad part is they were serious.
This was my rock salt zip gun that was taken off of me by the cops.
That's so prison. Not that I'd know.
No.
Never, I had to give it up. Never. They found my shank.
You know what? Maybe Amish 21 Jump Street. I'll have to find something like that.
Ooh.
Oh, sorry, just spitballing new accounts because I am not optimistic of getting my suspension, which is funny because I was checking my account the other day to go, because one of the things you can't do when you're suspended anymore is view notifications. So it's very isolating. And
it is.
Oh, cool. Thank you. MT posted a picture of the book that I was referencing.
Of course he has it.
Of course he has it. It's a great book. Seriously, I recommend it to everybody. It is amazing how this guy actually just makes like a timeline of the history of the world through those six beverages. It's really cool.
I got to check it out. Yeah.
It is a must read.
Mm-hmm. Great. Reading.
Damn it. Now I have to read.
Yeah.
Somebody told me there would be reading involved.
I'm sorry. So, I should found Aggie's book club. Force people back into reading.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Okay. It'll all be furniture and cocktails, which I'm okay with.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I could sink into a nice chair and drink. I mean,
you know, one of the things when you are a bartender, you spend an enormous amount of time looking for bartending books, like the old bartending Bibles, and you know that's it becomes a little bit of an obsession.
Yeah.
You know, Mr. Boston, a lot of people are still looking for Mr. Boston, even though, you know, it's not really around anymore. But, I mean, you go to eBay and you see listings for Mr. Boston. And I think somebody had a first edition Mr. Boston and it was going for like four figures.
That tracks.
You know, it was amazing. I have Trader Vic's, the second edition. And I had somebody, I happened to mention it on another social media site.
You've been going to other social media sites without us.
I know. I'm so bad. But they sent me a message asking if I was willing to sell it. They were willing to pay $500 for it. And I was like, no, I'm not selling this because A, it was my dad's, and B, no. End of discussion.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of the older bartending books and recipe books, cocktail recipe books, people are just like looking for all of the old stuff. Everything old is always new again. So I've seen that trend. It kind of blew my mind that the first edition Mr. Boston was going for four figures. That was wild.
Speaking of Trader Vic's, now that we're starting to think about the season, now that Starbucks is selling pumpkin spice, again, You know what? It is my favorite season. But Trader Vic's hot buttered rum mix, if you don't have it in your bar, you need it. Short of making your own.
I was going to say, I kind of just make my own, but I've heard that some of the Trader Vic's mixes are actually pretty good.
They really are.
I've never actually had them. I've never had the opportunity to, because usually I just go with what the recipe says in the book. So.
Yeah, the Trader Vic's hot buttered rum mix, because making like a real hot buttered rum is a little involved. So, you know, but their mix is good, and their Tom and Jerry mix is good too.
Andrew, no, it is not time for the greatest Christmas song ever.
It is we'll never die time on that hill.
No, Jeff, I've actually heard tell that it's pumpkin spice season. I'm in the state that it's 100 degrees everywhere today, so not here.
So, yeah, Aggie, there is an old Mr. Boston deluxe first edition second printing on eBay for $111 Canadian.
That's about okay. $400.
No, it is not.
A million Zimbabwe.
They're like nickels.
Yeah, the one I saw was first edition. There was no a second edition to the deluxe edition, or it was like first edition, like the first edition of the actual Mr. Boston. That was the one that I saw.
First printing of the first edition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one that I have, I think is the fifth printing. Greatest Christmas song ever. That's it.
I was gonna say there is a greatest Christmas song ever. It's Christmas and Hollis by Run DMC.
That's right. That was
you shall receive.
When G was doing his specials on charity for Christmas during his show, that's how he introduced me. That was
that's
my
right.
song.
That's right.
I know. I remember. Why do you think I cued it up? I remember. I was producing.
That's right.
And yes, I do mean Han Solo season.
Han Solo season.
Oh, boy.
Oh, goodness. It is, but it's true. They all look like Han Solo. They do. They dress like that. Oh my God. I cannot unsee it. After he mentioned it last year, after Ordy said so last year, I can't unsee it.
Yeah, all the basic WGs.
All the basic white girls?
Yeah.
Where's all the white women at?
Not here.
We want to buy the women. How much?
Hey, where are the white women at?
Yeah, sleep on those.
I'll be back on Twitter before Christmas.
Oh, that's good. You can put a bow on it.
And I have. Oh, you.
Boom!
But if he puts a bow,
because it was a gag gift, right? Boom!
Isn't that a Scottish song about the guy in the kilt?
If he puts a bow on it, it might cut off circulation, though. I recommend that.
I don't know where I've been, but I won first prize.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
That's the one, right?
I put a bow on it because it's a gag gift.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
There it goes. It took her a second, but...
I'm so red. Oh, my God.
I was going to say, Aggie... You remind me of Ashley because I can hear you blushing from here.
Oh, you all have no idea.
Okay. Hey, you know what?
I didn't say it.
That's a high note for me. I'm going to duck out and leave the rest of this to y'all.
You better go to... I can't talk.
Well, I mean... I'm not going to finish that sentence, but you just left that.
I was about to capitalize again, but I chose not to.
I bow to you, G. You managed to just completely throw me. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Whew. Okay, I think I can talk now.
You good?
So while Aggie's recovering, Ordy, tell everybody where they can find you. They can't. Oh!
They can't. You can find me Saturday night on, or actually, you can find me in a few minutes on Rick and Ordy, and then you can find me Saturday night on Juxtaposition, where we will be talking about the Golden Triangle. And how about you, G? Where can people find you?
You can find me right here on Wednesday nights, except for September 21st, because I will be at Chevelle at the Soul Kitchen in Mobile, Alabama. What a great dive bar and concert hall. That's what they like to call it, so that's what I'm going to call it. But I'm not going to argue $38 for a Chevelle concert in a venue that maxes out at 1,100 people when, because it's a Wednesday, we'll probably have about 400 there. I'll take it.
Dude, I haven't heard Chevelle in forever. I'd totally be down with that.
Yeah, new album out and hitting the road. So, yeah, Wednesday nights right here on KLRN Radio, America's Podcast Network. I am your leadoff man usually, but Rick went early today. I don't know.
What was up with that, Rick?
Or not.
I'm not getting my mouse.
Actually, I had planned on actually starting to do that earlier than now, but up until now, I haven't been able to deal with traffic on Wednesdays.
So Rick will become the leadoff man.
Yeah, that's the plan, traffic permitting, because it still takes me about 30 minutes to get back and forth.
Well, and where can they find you, Rick?
They can't, because I'm chained to a desk usually doing this shit. You can find me on social media pretty much on any platform, at RowdyRick73. You can find me here pretty much every night of the week anymore, either in front of the mic or behind one, pushing buttons, kind of like right now. Because the only day I really don't do this anymore is typically Sunday, Monday, and every other Saturday. Otherwise, I'm pretty much here somewhere.
All right. Aggie, it sounds like you've recovered.
I have, for the most part.
So where can people find you, if you can spit it out?
Damn you to hell. Oh, my God.
Okay. Everybody knows. Hey, wait a minute. Everybody knows Aggie doesn't spit. Just say it.
Oh. I'm going to hell. Okay. You can find me at Aggie Rican and at Aggie the Barkeep over on Twitter and on Getter. You can find me at Aggie Rican as well. Tuesday nights, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, doing the Cocktail Lounge with my wonderful co-host, Brad Slager, at 8:30 p.m. Eastern.
What?
And Friday nights, doing He Said, She Said, right now with Rick. We're combining our shows. And that's also at 8:30 p.m. until the return of the mysterious Mickey Blowtorch. And that's it for me before I start choking again.
All right. Well, Rick's going to press the button and take us out of here, and it will be Amish and Robinson. Is that what we're calling it, or is it Rick and Ordy?
Rick and Ordy.
Rick and Ordy.
Rick and Ordy, kind of like the Nelson brothers, you know, Gunnar and Matthew.
more like
but with less hair.
More like an actual play on the Rick and Morty.
I was thinking more like the Menendez brothers.
Oi.
You know?
No.
I think a strong argument could be made in that direction.
All right, we're going to get out of here before this devolves any further, because, you know, Aggie just about had a heart attack live on the air.
You made me play first base.
You're just wishing you could get to first base. Nobody wants to hear that shit. Bye, guys! I got 25 lighters for my 25 folks.